Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Today, guys, we will continue in our series of understanding creative financing, all of the strategies. So if you haven't, if you're just tuning in, go check out our last couple episodes. We wanted to continue in this series to provide more examples for each of the strategies that we use. So, you know, we want to provide examples for lease option, contract for deed or a land contract, first position trust deed and note, seller subordination, all-inclusive trust deed and wraparound mortgage, and then subject to. So we're just going to dive back into some examples of how to use these strategies. And Jeff's going to walk us through kind of some deals that he's structured, right, Jeff?
Correct. And one of the things I wanted to add is that there are times where there are multiple strategies that will work for a particular example. And so I'm going to try to point those out, like which other ones may also work. And then you've got to determine, yep, what are you trying to accomplish? What might be the best fit for your seller and or your buyer, if that's the case? And if you're the buyer, then for you, you know, where you are around the country, because there are certain things that may affect using one strategy as opposed to another. But this should give you at least a good idea of what's possible. And again, always about trying to open your mind to thinking more of how you can use these strategies.
Right. So our last episode, I think we were talking about a wraparound mortgage or an all-inclusive trust deed. Did you want to use another example of that? Or
So what we did on our last episode is we used an example, and we actually came up with two different types of strategies. One was a wrap, where we wrapped not only the underlying note, but the seller's equity all into one note, and had some rapid principal pay down. And then we took that same example and restructured it in a different way, where we did an exact wrap just around the underlying mortgage. So basically we said, we're taking over your existing debt through a new note that's exactly the same as your underlying mortgage. And then we're creating a new note for the seller's equity and then figuring out how to pay on that. And the reason that I like to show both of these examples, because think about this for a second, Jonathan. If I'm trying to buy your house and you owe, let's say, $50,000, and you, let's say you're selling it for $300,000, and you've got not the best interest rate, you know, 4.75, but you know, maybe it's not a very high payment because it's based on a low loan amount, right? So, but now if I come and I say, all right, I'm going to give you $300,000 and I'm going to put $10,000 down, I want you to finance me for $290,000. And if we use like principal only or the hybrid interest rate, something like that, where the equity, our principal is being paid down rapidly, probably a lot faster, even in this case, than a note that's been maybe in it's been in existence for maybe a long time. So some sellers may say, hey, you know, my interest rate's 4.75. Why would I agree to a 2.5% interest rate or no interest rate? So by structuring it a little differently, we can give seller different options. And now they may, you may even decide in some cases that, you know, the property does not warrant any payments on the seller's equity. And the seller is like, the seller may even understand that. However, the seller doesn't want to be losing more equity each month because, you know, the principal pay down on your note is cutting into their equity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we give them a second trust deed and note for the, for their equity, that, that does not, affect them. We could literally just lock their equity in and say, hey, you're going to get the full amount, but it's going to be 3 years from now or 5 years from now. So right. There's some reasons why we would want to do this. And so what I want to do is go through another example, show how we could do both, you know, one loan as a wrap, and then a second example where we divide it into two notes.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
Example wrap.
All right. So the brand new example, house that has an ARV of 250.
Okay. ARV 250.
They owe 57,000.
Oh, 57K.
They have a payment of 635 PITI.
635. Okay.
Okay, so here's where it's interesting. It's rented for $675. However, it could be rented for $1,400.
Wow.
Yeah. It does need $25,000-$30,000 in work.
$25,000 in repairs. Okay.
And she had a cash offer already for $165,000.
At $165,000.
Yeah. So here's a good example of a house that needs work that's already rented. Yeah, my guess is this lady lived in the property and moved out and for whatever reason didn't want to do the repairs. And, you know, was able to just get someone in there that was basically covering her mortgage payment.
Yeah.
So good amount of upside, but you most likely have to do some of the work to get to that upside. And that might not even be the whole story. Maybe it was in good shape. She was trying to, maybe she just really didn't know what the rental market was. And it certainly increased over the last couple of years. That who knows, these people may have been there years, and you know, they may have added to the damage, who knows.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I look at right away with this property is, and this is one of the reasons why you always want to look at what would it rent for, because it may give you other options that, you know, I think a lot of investors, whether they're rehabbers or wholesalers, would look at this as a rehab, and it's pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
But when you start looking at it as from a landlord point of view, you'll see that there's more money in it than for a rehab.
Okay.
So if we just took our cash offer, right, and keep in mind, I'm primarily a wholesaler. So if we took 250 and this was in a really hot market, my cash offer is something very similar to ARV times, in this case, 0.80 minus repairs minus my wholesale fee. So if you did 250 times 0.8, you're at 200 minus 30,000, you're at 170. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now my wholesale fee, which is going to, my offer is going to be less than that 165.
Yeah.
And if I did offer cash, I probably could offer 165. And here's the thing that I never want to do is I hate getting into bidding wars when, hey, I can offer 166. And now should probably go back to the other investor and see, you know, can you offer more than 166? And we're basically both
on your own profits.
Not in a good position to really make much money here.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So here's what we did in this particular case. Now we made a number of offers, right? But this is the one that she accepted. So we offered her 180. So $15,000 more than what she was getting. Obviously we asked her, do you need all your money right now? She said, no. She's used to getting cash flow, but not really any cash flow, right? So she'd be really lucky if she was breaking even.
Yeah, exactly. So you know if she passed the utilities on to the tenants?
That's my guess is yes, but yeah. She may have been paying, you know, water or garbage, and you know, even that would be, you know, she probably was coming out of pockets money every month. So
yeah, there's like $40 there.
Yeah, there's not much
payment and what she's renting it for.
That's right. Yep. So what we did is, so we raised the price. Obviously we thought we could get her attention that way, and that we did. We offered her $9,000 as a down payment.
Okay, down. Okay.
Okay. We did our hybrid interest rate. So this is a perfect example of doing a wrap and wrapping all of her equity into one note. Okay. So we were now offering her a note for $171,000 at 2.5%. She would get $850 a month, principal and interest.
50/month. Okay.
Okay. So, but this is probably what made the biggest difference is that, so obviously she's getting a better price. She liked that, but she's now making more money than she was already making. $10-$15 more than she was getting by dealing with the tenants. Plus her taxes are part of her payment. Of her 635.
Right.
So she's going to be reimbursed. It's about $200 a month. So she's really getting more like $1,050 a month. So now she's actually making, you know, $400 a month cash flow, much different than, you know, probably paying $25-$40 out of pocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are you creating a note for her existing mortgage as it sits?
I'm creating one note. So I'm wrapping around her existing debt and I'm giving her a note for $171,000.
Okay.
Okay. So out of the 850, she's got to make her payment of 635. She will receive another $200 to reimburse her. So she'll be receiving $1,050. She's got to pay out $635.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's where what I was trying to make the point about is that, so we did a hybrid interest rate, right? 2.5%. Whenever I do that, that allows me to manipulate that monthly payment in the way that I want.
Right.
And I'm already offering more. Now, yeah, but we're still at what, 75%, closer to 70% loan to value. I still want that principal pay down. And so what will happen is, so we agreed to do this for 42 months, 3.5 years, and the balloon payment. So once we give her the down payment, we still owe her $171,000. Okay. Over the course of 3.5 years, it's going to pay down to $149,351.
351, 141.
So we're going to get the benefit of $22,000 pay down over the course of 3.5 years.
Okay.
So that's pretty good, right? I mean,
yeah,
you're not going to get that on a normal type amortization loan.
No.
Okay. But do you see that she's losing equity that way?
Yeah.
She is getting payments, but she's not netting all this money because she's paying out the 635. And I have no idea how, where she's at in her loan. She might have 250 that goes toward principal a month. So maybe more like $3,000 a year toward principal, as opposed to, $6,500 or so.
Yeah.
So she's losing equity. Now, sometimes sellers don't care. They don't know. They don't understand that. In this case, what were the benefits to her? It was pretty simple. I can get more money and I can get better cash flow, right? Mm-hmm. So this wasn't a hard situation to figure out. So let's look at really quickly. So let me just tell you the results of what happened here so that you can understand why it's important to look at who your potential buyer would be. Okay, so if we would have just contacted, let's say that we would have offered 165 as well, and she liked us, so she took our offer, okay? Probably we would have sold, probably would have wholesaled this for, let's say, 175 and made 10 grand to a rehabber. Mm-hmm. So instead, what we did is we could have kept this property. We could have done a number of things, but we wholesaled it. And what we did is we upped the price from the 180 to 201. So $21,000 more.
Mm-hmm.
We upped the down payment from 9,000 to 30. Okay. So landlords expect to pay how much minimum on a property?
20%.
That's right. So minimum 20% down. So here they're getting in with 15%. So that's already a savings for them. And they're getting an interest rate. Could they get 2.5%? Even if it was amortized, they can't get 2.5%. So way better interest rate than they could get. They're walking into 20% equity. Now, granted, it does need some work, but they're walking into some equity, but there's going to be some principal pay down. What we get is we make $21,000. So our assignment fee is double what we would have gotten if we sold it to
a rehabber. Yeah.
And what the buyer gets is, so they've got some equity. They've got, they got in with a lower down payment, super low interest rate, the rapid principal pay down of that monthly payment, and they're going to make about $500 a month in cash flow.
Yeah.
So it really works out for everyone. And we beat the competition this way. So that's one of the reasons why we structured it. Now, if I had made an offer for 165 cash, and I probably did, that if she would have taken that, could we have sold this to a landlord for more, for cash? Perhaps. It would really matter how well the property showed and what that landlord thought they would have to put in it to make it rent ready. So,
right.
But here we were able to pay more and win the bidding war and make more money on our assignment.
Right. And I just want to go over really quick, Jeff, how to plug those numbers into your calculator for those who are following along. So we would plug in a present value of $171,000 for PV on your financial calculator. And then I put in 2.5% for the I/YR interest, right?
Yep.
And then you said it was 42 months.
Yes.
For the N. And then we're picking our payment. So we're plugging in negative 850 for our payment. And then I just hit the future value and it came up with the same number you got, the 149,351. I just wanted to go over that for those who are able to follow along with a calculator, because for me, unless I punch this all into a calculator, it doesn't ring any bells.
Yeah. Let's be clear. So I kind of invented this. So if it's a little confusing to you, go search our archives for hybrid interest rate. We go over it in depth and, you know, how it works and why I did it. But think of it this way. It's kind of like simple interest. So 2.5% on $171,000 loan would be 0.025 times 171 is 4275. That's the amount of interest that we would be paying for the year.
Yep.
Divide that by 12. It's basically 356. You know, by coming up with a payment of 850, what's happening? Where does the rest of the money go?
Towards principal.
That's right. So what we created is, what I created is something that you can plug into your calculator and get that principal pay down, able to manipulate that monthly payment. So good call to go over that.
Okay. Well, let's wrap this up right here.
We'll go through the other way that we could structure this on our next episode.
Yeah. And I just want to keep these kind of one example shows at a time so that people can really just go through, you know, re-listen to the episode, punch it in their calculator, understand how it was really structured here to help solidify that in their head. Yeah. Hopefully.
And so, remember that we could have done, just so that we're clear, we could have done a couple of different strategies here. We could have done a wrap like we did, which would be in this state, it was a trust deed and note. So an all-inclusive or an AITD, one note. We could have done contract for deed or whatever other, you know, agreement for sale, whatever it is. Saying it would have worked exactly the same way. The only difference would have been in this case, the buyer gets to go on title. If we use the contract for deed, the buyer would not go on title.
Right.
So always a stronger position to be on title than not.
Right.
And so we wouldn't have done subject to, in this case, too much equity. Yes. So those would be the strategies that you would use here. And then you will have to decide for your particular business, which method, which strategy would work best in this situation. Either one would work.
Right. Okay, guys. Hope you've enjoyed this and stay tuned for our next one as we go over another example. You guys can find all of our episodes at the creativefinancingpodcast.com. That's where our archive lives. Then we're also on Facebook, the Creative Financing Podcast. Please, please, please join our Facebook group there as we continue to build out that community. If you guys are interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, which he recently revamped, please email Rebecca. That's Rebecca at weofferoptionswithans.com. And then lastly, if you're interested in the Creative Financing Academy, please email Jeff. Let him know you're interested. He'll send you over a video. If you guys haven't got that yet already, he'll send you over a video and kind of get a taste of it. But his email is jeff@weofferoptionswithans.com. creativefinancingpodcast.com. So check that out. Any last words, Jeff?
Creative Financing Academy. If you like what you're hearing on this podcast, yeah, absolutely request the video. Pretty much everyone that's watched the video has loved it. And the people that are already in the academy are very, very happy. So let me know if that's something of interest to you. And obviously rate and review us. We really want to get our influence out to more and more people. So we'd appreciate it.
Yes, please. If you have not done that and you received any kind of value from our show, please, please, please just rate and review our show on wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us. Thanks, guys. Until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.